Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Matthew Sorens, who is the U.S. Director of Church Mobilization for World Relief, and we're going to talk about the subject of the refugees, and specifically religious refugees. And in fact, Matthew is the author of a book called Welcoming the Stranger, which was first published, I believe, in 2009, and now it's been updated. And Matthew, welcome to the program. I believe you've been on before, so welcome back to the program. Good to have you on.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Sure. Now, I understand that there's a religious crisis of sorts where some refugees want to get into this country, including a lot of Christian refugees, and the numbers have shrunk significantly in the last several months during the Trump administration. And so I guess it's good to put all this in perspective, and here's my core question: how do you keep the good ones in and keep the bad ones out?
Yeah, no, and that's a really fair question. Yeah, it is. In terms of the numbers, historically, the U.S. has, if they define a refugee, it's someone who's fled persecution because of particular reasons under the law, one of which is religion, and turns out the religion that gets people into a lot of trouble in our world, unfortunately, is Christianity. So for over the last decade, there's actually been more Christians who've come to the U.S. as refugees than those of any other single religious tradition. Some of them because of political opinion or nationality, but many of them because of their Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that has gone down with refugees who are coming for other reasons really dramatically. So the overall numbers, there was about 96,800 refugees who came to the United States in 2016. This year, in the first half of the year, it was about 10,900. So we're probably on track for about 22,000 over the course of 2018. So decline of about 77%. And the number of Christians are down by about 64%, including, in particular, Christians coming from some of the places where Christians face the most brutal persecution. So, for example, Iraq, there was 1,966 Christians in 2016. This year, thus far, halfway through the year, there's only been 14. So it's about a 99% decline. Similarly, Iran, there was more than 2,000 Iranian Christians who came as refugees in 2016, only two this year, in the first half of the year.
So help us to understand what's actually happening. It's not that these people aren't applying, it's rather the people are not accepting them, the people at our U.S. State Department, or what? How is this?
That's right.
Okay.
So the process
what's happening?
Is a combination of the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security. And what's basically happened, part of it is an effect of, you know, there was these executive orders that were in place last year where no one was allowed in from Iran and Syria and Iraq for a certain amount of time, and that was kind of held up in the courts and went back and forth. At the moment, it's not a legal restriction. It's just basically the Department of Homeland Security is not vetting people abroad. And as you alluded to, it's really important that we have a strong vetting process to make sure we're bringing in the right people, not the wrong people. But that process that has happened for, you know, for many years, where we have staff and officers of the Department of Homeland Security abroad vetting people, interviewing people, running background checks, is basically not happening, or it's not happening on anything like the scale that was happening previously. And that's affecting Muslims. The numbers of Muslim refugees are down even more dramatically, but it's also affecting persecuted Christians, especially from Muslim-majority countries like Iraq or Iran or Syria. The reality is most refugees from Iran, and there's been there's been about 16,000 Iranian Christian refugees who've come to the United States over the last decade. That's the majority of all refugees from Iran have been Christians. In fact, more than 90% have been religious minorities. So if not Christian, Jewish, or smaller religious minorities who were persecuted in Iran. So it's been very troubling for us because all of this is troubling for us. We care about Muslim refugees as well. But, you know, for people who have been persecuted for their Christian faith, who historically have found safe haven in the United States, not all of them, but a significant number of people who've been able to restart their lives and enjoy the religious freedom that we are blessed with in this country, they're not able to access that in most cases at this point. And it's hard because we serve a lot of people who were settled as refugees through World Relief a few years ago, and they have loved ones, relatives back in these countries of origin who are in desperate situations or who are in a refugee camp in a neighboring country in desperate situations. And they come to us asking, well, when is my family member going to be able to show to be here? And we can't really give them an answer. I mean, when there's been two Iranian refugees in the United States in the last 6 months, I don't want to promise someone that their relative is, you know, going to come anytime soon. So it's definitely been very challenging for for those families, and you know, for the, most importantly, for the people who are there in very stark situations overseas.
Well, let me quote a little bit here from an article by Brandon Showalter, Christian Post reporter, from July 30, 2018, so just a few weeks ago. The article, the headline is this: "You cannot take Jesus away from us. Iranian Christians testify about being imprisoned for Christ. Two Iranian Christians are pleading with the world to hear the cries of the Iranian people as they recounted their own ordeal of being imprisoned for their faith." This was at a plenary session at the State Department for the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom. And then it lists the names of the two women who have a very hard to pronounce name, and most of us don't know that anyway. But let me go on. The women were born into Muslim families, but they became Christians as young adults, and that's why they were imprisoned. The two women were arrested in 2009 by the Iranian regime because of their Christian faith. They spent 259 days in one of the nation's most notorious prisons. They were subjected to daily interrogations and mental torture, were said to have committed various offenses, apostasy, blasphemy, promoting Christianity in Iran, and were sentenced to execution by hanging. During their ordeal, Iranian officials also routinely threatened their lives and the lives of their families in order to pressure them to recant their faith, but they refused. By the way, they have now written this up in a book that they've written together, but and it's called Captive in Iran, A Remarkable True Story of Hope, and so forth. And they said that basically we're alive today because of Jesus' power and his miracles. But one of the main points of this story is that here are two people in desperate need from Iran, Christians, that were let into this country. And it just kind of bolsters your point, but it just sort of puts a human face on it, or two human faces, if you will.
Yeah, and I don't know them personally, but I'm familiar with that story because they actually were resettled at World Release in Atlanta.
Oh.
So we were able to help them.
Oh, wow. Well, congratulations. Have you read that book yet? Are you familiar with that?
I do have the book, and it's a really powerful story, and they were very kind to mention the World Release in it as well. You know, and that's what we've been doing for years, and basically that we can't do when our federal government won't bring people in. And I mentioned, and I wrote a piece recently where I was able to tell the story of another Iranian woman who became a Christian in Iran, and that got her into trouble. Her home was raided. Her son was imprisoned. And so she escaped with her younger son to Turkey, and they were there for a number of years and eventually were resettled, and they're living now in the Akron, Ohio area. But the son, the older son who was imprisoned, and he was eventually released from jail, but he would like to be able to come and join his family in the United States. But with no processing going on in Iran right now, he's been able to get, I think, to Turkey. So he's out of Iran, but still, it's a very difficult situation in Turkey.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't get work authorization when you're a refugee most of the time.
So you don't get what? You don't get what?
Work authorization. So that means you're not allowed to work lawfully. So, of course, but you still have to pay rent. So I have another Syrian refugee friend in the rural Illinois area where I work who told me he and his wife and his two sisters were all working full-time, and it didn't cover their rent payments as in Syria because you're not supposed to be working in the first place. You get taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So it's a really hardship situation for a lot of these refugees, and others are in camp situations where they're not allowed to leave in the second country they fled to. And that's why the resettlement program has historically been the lifeline, never for the majority of refugees, but at least for a small percentage of the most vulnerable refugees. And persecuted Christians have often been in that category. And that's what's really, it's largely, you know, it's down to a trickle in terms of the number of people arriving right now.
All right. Well, I wonder if perhaps, Matthew, there may be a timing issue here. In other words, that these things are going to happen. It's just that the timing is slow. I mean, that article that I was just quoting from you was courtesy, to be frank with you, of the Trump administration, because Mike Pompeo is the one who was holding those meetings and having those two Iranian women, who, by the way, were helped thanks to World Relief. Thank you very much for your organization for doing that. So in other words, they're highlighting these kinds of things already, and maybe it's in the pipelines. But the Trump administration is trying to protect us in the meantime from the bad guys who would want to come into this country to, let's say, commit jihad and kill people, you know, innocent people, and impose Sharia. I don't know. I'm just I'm just playing, not the devil's advocate, but I'm just trying to, you know, understand the full picture here.
Sure. I mean, I think I'm hopeful and praying for Secretary Pompeo because really he has a lot of say in this process and he's new in this role. So I don't want to jump to too many conclusions about what he will decide to do. We're waiting probably sometime soon to hear from the federal government what their refugee ceiling will be for the new year, the fiscal year that starts October 1st. News reports are they're considering dropping it. It already dropped last year from 110,000 down to 45,000. Their news reports are they're considering somewhere between 15 and 25,000, which inherently will harm persecuted Christians along with persecuted people of other faiths. So I'm hoping that those reports are wrong. I'm hoping that Secretary Pompeo, who has been a really strong advocate for religious liberty internationally, including that ministerial that happened a few weeks ago. In fact, we had a number of evangelical leaders who participated in that ministerial in D.C., with the National Association of Evangelicals and the Southern Baptist Ethics Religious Liberty Commission, who sent a letter to Secretary Pompeo just last week as part of a group called the Evangelical Immigration Table, basically saying, we really appreciate your commitment to international religious freedom. We hope that you will also recognize that for people whose religious freedom has been denied, who've been persecuted for their Christian faith or for other faiths, that they need to be able to access the U.S. Refugee Resettlement Program and at a historically normal level. So we would love for that ceiling of refugee admissions to be set back at 75,000, which would be about the average that it has been over the last decade. If it goes down to 15,000 or 25,000, there will almost certainly be even fewer persecuted Christians. And right now the numbers are down about 65% for Christians, even higher for many other religious backgrounds. We are concerned that those numbers could go down even more precipitously in the year to come. But I'm praying for Secretary Pompeo that he would really prioritize the refugee program. We have a lot of evidence that we can both be compassionate and safe. There's been 3 million refugees welcomed to the U.S. over the last, since 1980, nearly 40 years, when the Refugee Act was signed into law. And not a single one of them has ever perpetrated an act of terrorism that took an American life. That's actually a really remarkable record, and we should give credit to the Department of Homeland Security, who has historically done a great job of vetting people to make sure we're bringing in the right people, we're not bringing in the wrong people. And I think with that record, you know, there's not a compelling reason in my mind to slow resettlement of refugees when we have such a strong record that shows that we can do both. We can be compassionate. We can help the persecuted church, help persecuted people of other faiths as well, and at the same time, keep American citizens safe.
Well, I know that in Iran, there's a lot of people that are unhappy about their own government, even people who are Muslims. But I know, especially in the case of, you know, those who are Christians, they feel that. But how about a couple of comments about Syria? Because Syria, you know, there's a sizable, or there used to be at least, relative to the Middle East, a relatively sizable population in the country of Christians, or at least there used to be. I'm not even sure anymore. Yeah. How about a comment on Syria, and we'll close with that.
Yeah, you know, I think it's another situation that we've been watching really closely. During the Obama administration, we were actually critical of the State Department for not bringing enough Syrian Christian refugees. They started to bring in more. And there were some Syrian Christians coming in, but we felt like there should have been more able to access the U.S. Refugee Resettlement Program. But actually, actually President Trump said the same thing when he came into office. He said, we need to do more to help persecuted Christians from Syria. But that hasn't happened. There, in 2016, under the last administration, there was only 121 Syrian Christians allowed in, which, again, we thought was not enough. But in 2018, thus far, there's been six. So that's down about 90%. And so, again, it's the same dynamic. Now, the number of Muslims is down 99% or more. So there's persecuted Muslims who are very vulnerable as well. And we've been really clear. We think, you know, all refugees should be carefully vetted, but we don't want to discriminate simply to one religious group. But I am particularly concerned about the plight of persecuted Christians. And I had hoped that we might see an increase in persecuted Syrians being able to come and rebuild their lives in the U.S. Instead, we've seen that almost dry up to nothing. I mean, literally just six Syrian Christian refugees have come to the U.S. in the first 6 months of 2018.
Wow. All right, Matthew Sorens, S-O-E-R-E-N-S, again, of World Relief, worldrelief.org, for more information. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate being on again.